Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Yes, that was Junior serenading me ahead of Valentine's Day. Singles, stand up. We made it. We made it through the holiday. Not going to lie, being on Instagram as a single was definitely unfair this weekend.
That is bad for our mental health.
I had to block some really good people. I need to figure out how everyone's Valentine's Day went, how that holiday went. But first, before I get the tea, let's get paid. It's Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus. And speaking about that Plus life, when you gift a year of ESPN Plus, you're giving thousands of live events, exclusive originals, the full 30 for 30 library, and more. Surprise the sports fan in your life with a year of ESPN Plus. Visit ESPNplus.com/giftayear for more details. It's Janae Ogunmake and Mike Golic Jr. of Janae and Golic Jr. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline now. Junior, this hour we will get to the news when it comes to Lakerland, the Lakers, after Anthony Davis left the game yesterday with Achilles soreness. You know, we got the news from Adrian Wojnarowski saying that this is something that they think will be largely, you know, 2 weeks to be reevaluated. It was a calf strain, and there is some soreness for Anthony Davis. We'll see, you know, what happens in the interim while he's unavailable. Will that really tilt the balance of the rest of the NBA? But more specifically, does this mean that LeBron James will have an even better case for MVP? We'll get to that in about 10 minutes. But Junior, and I guess I'll save, you know, the Valentine's Day shenanigans for keep that same energy in about 45 minutes. But I want to start with the weather report because, you know, right now, you know, I'm in Los Angeles and it feels probably like 60, 65 degrees. It's nice. It's a pretty cold day in Texas. I got out at the right time. Houston, 22 degrees. I believe in Dallas in the Big D, it's 16 degrees. And I know you're probably mad at all the videos of like, oh my gosh, wow, snow is so cute down in the South. But when we talk about the Big D, it seems like at least things are warming up in Dallas based on what we saw on social media. Because Dak Prescott, you know, we got the subliminals. Dallas tight end Blake Jarwin tagged Dak Prescott in a recent Instagram post saying, Dak, want to run it back in a few months? And then Dak, he shared, you know, on his own story and said, that's the only way I see it, when we're talking about, you know, his intentions to stay with the Cowboys, which is crazy because, you know, on a day that's so cold in Dallas, it's giving us all the warmth and feels. But do you think that, you know, this situation actually needs fixing? Because it's been drawn out for a long time, a few years now, but it seems like Dak sort of wants to be a Cowboy. Jerry Jones said that Dak has the leverage. What's the holdup?
So let's re-up people on the situation, because I think this one's gotten pushed. As much as news around Dak and the Cowboys can be on the back burner, what's going on with Deshaun Watson and the Texans has completely blanketed this as far as coverage. And like you said, we've been dealing with this for a year and a half. But Dak Prescott going out on commenting on Instagram is one thing. What are the real ramifications for him and the team if he's not given the deal he wants soon? Ed Werder, our ESPN NFL reporter, was on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin this morning and talked about what the timeline could look like if that's the case.
Unless the Cowboys give Dak Prescott exactly what he wants, I don't see Dak having any reason to do anything until the March 9th deadline to be designated a franchise player, because that's when he'll maximize his leverage. I talked to Mike McCartney, who was the agent for Kirk Cousins, who's the only quarterback in the NFL to play on the tag twice, which is what Dak Prescott is looking at. And I think he felt like he had incredible leverage against Washington, and he converted that into an $84 million total guaranteed deal that remains the biggest in the NFL when he moved him to Washington after the second franchise. But I don't think he ever felt like he had the kind of leverage that Dak Prescott and Todd France have in the current negotiation between the Cowboys and Dak Prescott, because Dak's a far better, more accomplished quarterback than Kirk Cousins was at the time that he was tagged for the second time.
Janae Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. And the other advantage he has is going into next year, where we're uncertain right now about what the salary cap situation is going to look like overall. Dallas is going to tag him so that they have time to negotiate that deal. When you put in the franchise tag, you've got until that July 15th date to negotiate a long-term deal. Dallas cannot go into this year with a $38 million cap hit on the hook at the quarterback spot. A long-term deal helps them smooth that out. It makes their life easier, and Chiney is the only thing they can do at this point, because they bet the wrong horse. flat out on this. They started paying linebackers, running backs, everyone else under the sun, and they watched the whole house of cards come crashing down. And so all they've got left to do is to pony up and pay Dak this money and just hope that you can treat him well enough in the next 3 years or whatever it is he ends up signing this contract for that he'd want to stay longer than that.
Yeah, and I think that that franchise tag also is an insurance policy that they at least get something back. But I do like how you said pony up, because I did see you, everyone who missed it, Mike Golic Jr. made his debut on Highly Questionable today, and there was a beautiful baby photo of you in a cowboy hat. So while we're talking about the Cowboys and Dak Prescott and the Big D and Dallas and the cold down there, what was the reason why you were a baby in a hat like that?
Listen, Arizona, Mike, where I grew up in the Southwest for a time in my childhood, brought out the ye, and I cannot stress this enough, haw inside my heart, and it came out in the form of overalls and a little cowboy hat.
Oh my gosh, why couldn't you just say yeehaw? Like, that's the normal thing?
Needed to make
the yee and the haw?
I needed to make sure people understood just how yeehaw this picture that we're describing on radio was, because it was very
it's
much
great.
That.
Go check out our Twitters, at Mike Golic Jr., at Chinee, because I saw that. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is actually super cute. But, you know, speaking of the yeehaw, you know, you put out howdy, and I always say howdy when I'm back home in Texas. But, you know, when it comes to this cowboy situation, Junior, do you think that this is the best option for Dak? I said earlier that, you know, coming off of injury as an athlete, having that comfort zone, knowing where you're going to be and just the teammates you're around, that you're valued, people are rooting for you, especially in Dallas, that makes it so much easier to understand why, you know, Dak would say, hey, that's my goal. But do you think that that's the ultimate best choice for him?
So I think in a lot of ways, yes. Like, the thing that Jerry Jones and so many people in the public, and we heard every time people want to try and convince Dak to say less, they say, well, it's super valuable to be the Cowboys quarterback. You should be comfortable taking less. I don't agree with the latter part of that. I don't think Dak should ever take a penny less than what he feels like he deserves in the spot and what the market says teams are willing to pay for top flight quarterback play. But there are a lot of perks to being the Dallas Cowboys quarterback, both before and when you are done playing in your career. And I think those things are worth sticking around for. And I think when you've got familiarity and when you've got a chance to be special, when you are all healthy again in this spot, if you get this solidified and can go chase some of the other things that were issues for Mike McCarthy and the staff in year one, I think that there's some value there. And Chinee, you know how this goes. Hard feelings are only going to go so far once checks start to cash.
That facts.
Preach. I feel like adult life is pretty simple like that. You can tell me you love me all you want, but when we are in a work environment, there is an easy way to show me how you feel, and it is dollars and cents. And when those cards start coming out again, I have a feeling all the bad feelings can kind of fade away for Dak Prescott and the Cowboys if you just admit that you were wrong.
Yeah, and there are only, and you talk about like situations where you'd feel comfortable, you know, taking less. Maybe you're a Ben Roethlisberger where maybe like you're not sure what the future looks like, but you're aging and you're, you know, this is better for the team. That makes sense. Maybe you're coming back from injury and you're not sure, you know, how you're going to perform or if you're going to be able to be out there for the entire season. Maybe you take less, but not when you're Dak Prescott and you know your value. And I know he is coming off of injury, but still, you know, there's more good in that situation than there is any bad. And to be young in that limelight is not a bad thing at all. So.
That is such a great reminder that Ben Roethlisberger, who wants to just keep playing at this point and understands his gigantic number, almost $41 million against the cap next year, I think would be an impediment to that. What we're seeing with J.J. Watt right now, J.J. Watt's still a very good, productive football player, but not worth $17.5 million when you're only getting 5 sacks like you were last year. That's a recognition of, okay, in order to keep going, I need to do this, not for young in the prime of your career playing the premier position. So
was the key in the engine.
Yes. You, as we saw last year, like, man, it looked like Dallas was kind of building this whole thing to say, you know what, if we got to put Andy Dalton in there, we're going to be all right. And it's gone. And then that did not work. And so now you got to reassess. Again, you made a bet and you lost. And that is what happens sometime with all this. But it's being able to understand that sunk cost fallacy and say, all right, I don't need to make this worse. I need to cauterize the wound.
All right. Clearly, this is a game talking about bets of Texas Hold'em. You know what I'm saying? It's Texas Hold'em.
Oh, no. We have reached peak yeehaw right now as Chinee has gone back home to the Lone Star State and left. She has come back with a little twang.
This is a draw. It's your girl, Chanae Ogumike. I can do my whole show in Texan accent, but I choose not to. And I'm way better at Stephen A. than this, but I don't really turn on my Texan. But go ahead. Continue, Junior.
It is an amazing bit of switch right there from Chanae. And she can turn this on at the drop of a hat right now. So hopefully, God in heaven, we keep getting news out of Texas so that we can get our ESPN Texas correspondent, Howdy Y'all, Chanae Ogumike, to come up here and hit you guys with some of the good
Chanae
news.
Chanae the Stallion checking in. Let's go.
My God. Coming up next, as we get the back to the breaking news out of the NBA, Anthony Davis, Adrian Wojnarowski, breaking all the news about Anthony Davis. Star center for the Lakers is going to be out for an extended period of time. Why this all comes back to a much clearer path to the crown for LeBron James. We'll do that next here on ESPN Radio.
Chanae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
I wanted to do a country accent, but why would I do it to this music? It's so different. It's Chanae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus. Chanae Ogumike and Mike Golic Jr. holding it down for you now. In about 10 minutes, we'll check in with our own ESPN's Mina Kimes, who is our NFL analyst. But for more, obviously, clearly on that Dak situation when it came to the social media post. But as I transition out of the NBA back to my normal voice, you know, it's been really fascinating, Junior. First of all, how would you grade that? Was that okay?
So,
was that better?
So here's the thing is Chanae Ogumike, for anyone who's not familiar again, is born and raised in Houston, Texas. So this is her native state in this union. And so I heard that and thought it was great. But our producer, Cliff, who again is Philadelphia's very own, is the one sitting up here casting judgment on your ability to do an accent that
Cliff,
he has no familiarity
me,
with.
I think it's a shame that you have to fake an accent from where you're from.
Wow.
First of all, it's not about faking an accent. It just is that I can turn it on and turn it off whenever I want. But I also got another accent. You don't want to try me. Biko. I mean, I'm not going to go African on y'all. Y'all would just lose your feelings. But
I wouldn't lose my feelings. I'm good.
Oh, you kind of African too. He's Haitian, so it's all good. But my Texan accent is on point. I can turn it on and turn it off whenever I want. And I will be a great Texan accent coach for Stephen A. because his is a little sus at times, but he leans all the way into it. And so I'm very glad for that.
I was going to say, for as much as that guy spends his time preoccupied with the Cowboys and the things that are going on there, I'd have figured he would have developed a great Texas accent at this point, turning on, putting the black hat on when he goes down there and not being afraid to be the bad guy.
You know what? The next stage for Stephen A. is getting him a grill. Because if he's going to be Texan, get him a full fitted grill so that he can wear that when he has his cowboy hat. It'll be straight. It'll be literally be straight. But I digress. I want to get back to the NBA here, Junior, because if this is Texas Day and your girl's Texan, and I'm also an NBA analyst here, we just got the news during our show, which, mind you, most news happens during our show. I mean, I feel like it's a divine intervention. But our own ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski, our own NBA insider, he tweeted a status update on Anthony Davis saying that his MRI revealed a calf strain and a re-aggravation of the right Achilles tendinosis, which is a swelling, a source said. Once Davis returns to Los Angeles, he'll immediately get another evaluation there. It's extremely unlikely that Davis returns to the lineup prior to All-Star game break ending March 10th, which is about almost a month from now. Now, Junior, this is huge just because now we have a different landscape in which not only the West is operating, because the Lakers are now number two in the Western Conference standings. The Utah Jazz just, you know, dethroned them. But they also have a difficult upcoming schedule, which includes even the Brooklyn Nets later this week, which will be a different game because I believe it'll be no KD still. And then also, you know, no AD. But still, it'll be an opportunity in the prime time for LeBron James to stamp his case on, hey, guys, I'm going to still operate the same way as our own ESPN, you know, Dave McMenamin, who just joined us, Lakers reporter. He joined us a few minutes ago, and we were able to track him down as he was breaking down all of this news. And we sort of posed him the question, with AD out, could this actually bolster LeBron James' case for MVP?
This is a chance for LeBron to further solidify this magnificent season that he's been having so far. If people want to say that, hey, it's not as impressive as some analysts say it is because he has Anthony Davis on the side, well, he doesn't have Anthony Davis right now. And this, quite frankly, could be how he really puts his stamp on the MVP race over the next several weeks, how he responds and how he leads this team without Anthony Davis in the lineup.
Chanae Ogumike Jr. here on ESPN Radio. And Chanae, you asked for the MVP odds earlier. We had them updated. LeBron James currently sitting at first in the MVP odds, followed by Nikola Jokic and then Joel Embiid at this point. So We go into this with LeBron already first in a lot of people's minds, potentially for the MVP. And now you brought up on SportsCenter earlier here, his minutes in the place they had been have plenty of room for improvement. And what he told Dave McMenamin reporters last night is he's got no plans on slowing down in year 18. There's nothing physically he's displayed. And so it does open up for a guy already in pole position to get more touches, more looks at critical situations where we remember he'd been deferential to Anthony Davis during the postseason. He understood how vital his role was to that team, and now he's getting those opportunities back too.
Look at the basketball gods of Spalding and Wilson coming and making a situation that is difficult, something that's now super fascinating. This Brooklyn Nets matchup is going to be crazy based on what we heard today. Kyrie Irving saying, guess what? All right, James Harden, I need you to be the point guard. I need you to be the point guard like we knew in Houston. Now he's going to be staring down an opponent in LeBron James who a lot of people will be looking and saying, all right, without AD, was it more AD or was it more you? Now we know last year it was a lot LeBron James, but AD did not hurt. AD almost had a little momentum with the way the finals started last year. So I think this is a huge opportunity for LeBron James because the crazy thing is every year this man could be MVP. But what he has done is he's sort of like, you know, based on those odds, he's commanded that conversation through the first half of the season. And now he's looking into, as you mentioned, a situation where, you know, lowest career minutes per game, that's going to go up soon. He already is giving you 25-8-8. They're number two now in the standings. But if he's able to, you know, consistently hold it down. And like I said before, if the supporting cast now knows, oh, it's go time. Look, let me tell you, there are few players that you're like, okay, it's your time to step in. Like Kyle Kuzma turns up. You know, Montrezl Harrell looking for an opportunity to sort of make some noise for the first time with the Lakers, you know, after that quietly controversial decision to switch teams in the city. Dennis Schroeder, super talented player that, you know, was a Sixth Man of the Year candidate right below Montrez. So, like, this Lakers team is still formidable. It'll just be interesting to see how LeBron James uses his leadership down the stretch and see if they can stay in that 1-2-3 top range. Because if they are, I mean, we could see another situation. What number is this for him? Would it be his fourth or fifth MVP? I'm pretty sure it'd be, like, up there with five.
Be five.
Yeah, it'd be his fifth MVP. And, I mean, at this point, like, you know, hopefully they get AD healthy and maybe if it's later, even a month and a half, like, they'll still be in contention and they could still have an amazing, you know, run in the postseason. So while it's tough news if you're a Lakers fan that you're missing AD, it's going to be awesome to see if LeBron James can keep, you know, this ship running and keep full steam ahead. Because if he does that, my goodness. My goodness, we have more to debate.
And you know what? I understand this has the window for LeBron James MVP, and that's a regular season award, and the Lakers should absolutely, and it sounds like by every indication they're going to, tread so lightly with Anthony Davis, because you brought up, once we heard calf strain, it reminded everyone a lot of what happened with Kevin Durant and the Golden State Warriors. Mm-hmm. And that is the last thing on earth we want, because we also know what happens for guys of above 7 foot with a certain body type and Achilles injuries. It's a difficult road back, even for young superstar athletes like Anthony Davis. That being said, we also know LeBron. That MVP is something he brings up because he's prideful and he's a guy who has a lot of confidence in his ability, but we know he's about championships at this point. And so it's got to all be pointed in the direction of make sure this team is ready and make sure the other parts are ready for when Anthony Davis comes back in that postseason run that this team wants to make. So plenty more on that. Anthony Davis, again, going to be out for the next 2 to 3 weeks going into the All-Star break from March 5th to March 10th, and then they are going to reevaluate there. But coming up next, we got to do what we do best, and we'll enlist some help as we go to social media to try and read the tea leaves for the future of the Cowboys star quarterback. Next, here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Next.
Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Oh, we got some country music, boy, and I'm loving it. It's Jhené Egbuike, Mike Golic Jr. on Jhené and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live on ESPN Plus. And I feel like it's good to have that music because we can go straight to, you know, the state of Texas with Dak Prescott. But first, I want to bring in our guest. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. And I want to go straight there because we're delighted to be joined by Mina Kimes. Mina Kimes, check out, you know, her podcast, The Mina Kimes Show, featuring Lenny. We see her all the time on NFL Live, one of the co-hosts there and our NFL analyst. And before I get to my Texas twang, Mina, I had to go to your timeline because why did I see quote, great win by your Brooklyn Nets on your Twitter timeline. Because we've been talking about the Brooklyn Nets, especially now with the power rankings and how, you know, the energy has shifted with the Lakers news today. But, like, why are they your team, Mina?
Well, thank you for asking about my Nets. I feel like they're, you know, I don't get a chance to talk about my longstanding love for them as of this week. I had on Nets Warriors, and I just thought to myself, is there anything more offensive than bandwagoning the Nets this year? And I decided no, and that's when I decided to do it, Shanae. I'm a lifelong Nets fan as of this week.
Wait, I appreciate this, Mina, because after the way my great, you know, city of Houston, Texas has done its sports, I need to start looking at a different team possibly. So
join me. Join me, Nets Nation.
Nets Nation.
Hashtag Brooklyn together.
This is unbelievable right now because, Chinee, Mina is fans of probably the most, I'd say, least offensive fan base in the NFL and the Seattle Seahawks because, Mina, would you not agree? Because you guys are such a niche community here and a bunch of online weird people that you guys would be the antithesis of this?
All right. Here's the thing. I don't know about the Seahawks being the least the most harmless fan base. Pretty aggressive on the internet, but because I'm a Seattle sports fan, I do not have an NBA team. I'm a free agent every year. I root for storylines and fun things to happen. I also love LeBron, but I just think rooting for the Nets, especially bandwagoning them, rather, it's indefensible. They're so as a group, it's so. I think, I don't even know the word for it. I mean, the combination of Harden, Kyrie, and Durant, it's so upsetting to people that I can't help but get behind it. I also, I've always loved Kevin Durant, too. And I feel like Kevin Durant doesn't have stans. Like, have you ever met a Kevin Durant stan in the wild?
That is a good point.
Well, I don't think so, but it's also really difficult to publicly stan someone that frequents burner accounts, Mina. Like, that's a difficult lie.
It me.
You know what? Who among us is not extremely online? Who among us has not wanted out of a workplace? Who among us has not wanted to take time off for inexplicable reasons? So the Nets are the most relatable basketball team, and they're my team.
Yes,
Chinee Ngola Jr. here on ESPN Radio talking to our ESPN NFL analyst and lifelong Nets fan, Mina Kimes, on the Goodyear Hotline. So now as we get away from, go from one functionally toxic environment to another, have used social media to mine news about the Dallas Cowboys, Mina. From what we saw on Instagram, Dak Prescott repurposing Blake Jarwin's post to indicate that he would like to be a Dallas Cowboy still, does this give you any more confidence in Dallas and Dak getting a deal done now?
You know, I'm hesitant to attribute too much significance to social media, but the language that Dak used, no other way, is pretty, it's probably the nicest thing he said or the most positive thing he said about being a Cowboy this year in a while, and that matters because at the end of the day, both sides have to come to the table here. I've made it pretty clear I think he's by far the Cowboys' best option, but their only other real option is to tag and trade, because if they tag him again, you're entering a Kirk Cousins scenario where they wouldn't be able to get a return and go, you know, become a free agent next year. They'd only get a comp pick. They need to figure this out pretty soon. And if I'm a Cowboys fan, I'm at least optimistic about it. The other thing I think that's worth getting into, Marcus Spears and I were talking about this on NFL Live. He was saying, you know, if I'm Dak, I don't want to go to Dallas. They've disrespected me to some degree. And I believe that the franchise has devalued him. But I also think from Dak's perspective, there are a lot worse places he could be in the NFL. And this is not a Deshaun Watson scenario where he has control. He could get traded to a significantly worse offense with significantly worse pass catchers. Dallas is one of the best in the NFL. Granted, they've had some offensive line injuries. So I think from a football perspective, you know, he has incentive to work it out as well.
Grass is not always greener on the other side, unless you're in Seattle where it rains all the time. It's Mina Kimes, our own ESPN NFL analyst and also one of the co-hosts of NFL Live here with us on Chinee Ngola Jr. on ESPN Radio. And, you know, Mina, we haven't talked since, you know, the Texans released J.J. Watt. What do you think is potentially the best fit for him?
Yeah, so this is an interesting scenario because every football team is a good fit for J.J. Watt. Question is, how badly does he want to win and how much does he want to get paid? Because, you know, the Steelers have been thrown out. He could play with his brother, but frankly, I don't think they're a Super Bowl team. So if that matters a great deal to him, I would look more to teams like Green Bay, which has been mentioned and linked to him, Buffalo, and I'm actually saying this, Cleveland is more of a contender in my mind than Pittsburgh. You know, J.J., he can play in a 4-3, 3-4. Yes, he's not what he was in earlier in his career, but he's still an incredibly effective both pass rusher and run defender. He was the most double-team player in the NFL last year, and any of those front sevens would benefit greatly from adding him.
Mina Kimes with us here on the Goodyear Hotline. As we try and figure out the homes for a lot of these players, the focus of the offseason has been the quarterback carousel, Mina. And I feel like the one name that we've talked about a little bit but that hasn't taken center stage yet is Jimmy Garoppolo. We've all romanticized this potential reunion with New England, but in your mind, how likely is that actually going through this offseason?
I think it's pretty likely, to be honest. And who among us, you know, hasn't looked back at our lowest at an ex and thought, maybe I had something good there. And maybe, you know, I don't think Jimmy Garoppolo is a huge difference maker, but I also don't think the Pats have a lot of better options. They do have cap space, but they're not picking high enough in the draft to go after any of the top four quarterbacks. They'd have to trade up, which they never do. And then after you get out of Watson and Prescott, there aren't really free agents that are better. I think San Francisco, it's become pretty clear that they want out and they can get out, whether it's a trade or a cut. So a reunion makes a lot of sense to me.
Wow. All right. A potential reunion. Like you said, Mina, you know what? Every once in a while, admitting that maybe things would have worked out differently and being able to do something about it is okay to explore and not at all toxic or unhealthy.
Yeah, that was us.
Coming
it was
off
toxic
of Valentine's.
This weekend. For us singles, Mina, it was horrible. Like, it was horrible social media landscape. Junior and I, like, we were struggling.
Yeah, I found the true love of my life, the Brooklyn Nets, so I can't relate.
Make sure you follow noted Brooklyn Nets fan Mina Kimes at Mina Kimes on Twitter and check out the Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny wherever you get your podcasts as well as NFL Live every day 4 Eastern right around here. Appreciate the time, Mina.
Thanks,
we'll talk
Mina.
To you soon. Go Nets.
Appreciate it. Harden did nothing wrong.
All right, coming up next, as we find the most unlikely heel turn from one of our favorite NFL analysts, we'll explore some true dreams and nightmares around the world of sports here on ESPN Radio.
Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
It is Monday after Valentine's Day weekend, and I'm proud of you. Guess what? If you're single out there, like Golic Jr. and I, we're still here. We made it. It's Jhené and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN+. Plus. Jhené Ogumike and Mike Golic Jr., and we got to show love to the crew after, you know, the love holiday. Dwight Freeney, Super Bowl champion, 7-time Pro Bowler, and also Mina Kimes of, you know, obviously NFL Live, our NFL analyst. Both of them, they broke down Dak Prescott, the social media situation where there's love on both sides. So we're like, why isn't this getting done? But it's complicated love, I guess. That's the relationship status. And we also have to thank Dave McMenamin, our own ESPN Lakers reporter and NBA insider, who broke down, you know, basically the implications after Adrian Wojnarowski.
Everyone clear out right here. Everyone clear out.
No, do we have the sound for that? Wow.
The struggle.
Wow.
Adrian Wojnarowski, our ESPN NBA insider
Isn't it Wojnarowski?
No, it's Wojnarowski.
I'm pretty sure it's Wojnarowski, but we can fight over this another day. One more time.
I'm
loving. Y'all, that's another signature sound of our show. What is the other signature sound that we have in the vault?
No, I'm not going to save you.
I think we cut that off too early. It was, no, I'm not going to save you. No, I'm not your Superman.
Again, for anyone unfamiliar, that is ESPN's Jay Williams, co-host of Keyshawn J. Williams Zubin with...
Wow.
Which is reacting to some sort of trade that went down there. And, of course, none other than our own Marcus Spears, ESPN NFL analyst, reminding people that he is not the Marcus Spears that tried to holler at Wendy Williams and telling everyone in his DMs...
No, I'm not going to save you.
And we're only missing one more, and that's from Keyshawn. And what is that, Junior?
Chill.
Just chill. But as I was saying, when we're talking about, no, I'm not going to save you right now, that's Anthony Davis because he can't save the Lakers. We heard the news from Adrian Wojnarowski, Woj bomb. He posted on a tweet that Anthony Davis's MRI revealed a calf strain and a reaggravation of the right Achilles tendinosis. That's what we broke down on today's show. And so if you missed any of those conversations with the different angles when it comes to the NBA and the power rankings and how, you know, this all is going to affect the landscape for the next month, plus the Dak Prescott news when it came to the world of football, check it out on our podcast, Shanae and Golic Jr. podcast. And also, if you want to watch our show again and see our beautiful faces, ESPN Plus, we re-rack that there every week. Now, before we get to keep that same energy, I have to ask everybody, because obviously I'm trying to be a nice person, and I had an okay Valentine's Day. Like, my parents were, happy Valentine's Day, sweetie. I'm so sorry we didn't get you anything. I was like, Mom, like, ever since elementary school, I don't need anything for Valentine's Day. So how was everyone else's Valentine's Day, starting with you, Junior?
My Valentine's Day involved laundry and nursing a mild hangover there. Shout out to my forever Valentine, Sean and Liz Rogers. Send me a Valentine's Day card every year since we got to college. That tradition never graduates, so I still got that one on lock here today. What about you? How was your Valentine's Day outside of that? Did you do anything besides not get a present from your parents?
Well, I took tally on who reached out and who didn't, so I can hold it against them on the text.
Who from the stable that you keep has reached out and made sure to touch base?
Yeah, and so I say that I'm trying to be better, but I realize I'm just same old, your girl. And so I'm going to try to be better and respond. I should go back and respond to the text.
That feels like Chanae the Stallion coming out right there. That's her making sure.
Yeehaw. And as we keep on with that same energy, Cliff, let's do, is it Cliff or anybody today?
Burks, hit it. We want to be a jolt of energy.
Yeah, the energy level was really high there.
And now we want to keep that same energy going.
Keeping that same energy.
Keep that same energy.
You could just sense that there was a tremendous amount of energy.
With Chanae and Golic Jr.
Wagwan, Junior, Wagwan.
Keeping that
Top Boy.
Keeping that same energy as we are careening off the cliff on a Monday, I want to revisit a player that took a lot of heat coming out of college and is now devolved to some wholesome bleeping content in the NBA. Check out Anthony Edwards talking about supporting his teammates during this season.
I feel like I'm the life of the team as far as, you know, spirit. I come in practice happy, loud every day because I'm young. I got so much energy. And I just feel like guys like Ricky, he always give me advice. So I like even though he don't think he's been shooting well, I'm happy he's shooting the ball. And I try to give him as much confidence, same as J.O., same as Vando. I try to give everybody as much confidence as I can because if I believe in you, I feel like I believe in you so much, you wouldn't want to let me down or let the team down. So I feel like they'll try their best to make it.
Shanae, it doesn't get much better than that from a young player coming in who had a lot of questions about did he care enough about basketball coming out of the draft, answering them there, not only caring about the game, but about his teammates.
That's so relatable for me, especially here on Shanae and Gold Jr., because I feel like I'm the life of the team here. You know, I come in and I bring in the energy and I hold everything down. And, you know, if Junior's going to miss a segment or, like, you know, forget something, I'm going to just tell him, like, I got confidence in you. I believe in you. So, like, I totally relate.
Very relatable. And big Anthony Edwards energy that we should all strive for. And then we got Hayden Payton coming out here on Payton's Places. This last episode, breaking down a key play, Matt Haig, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers offensive tackle, coming in, missing a touchdown pass, and just listen to Payton, letting him have it, talking about missing that touchdown grab in the end zone by the offensive lineman.
Does Gronk catch that? Yes, he does. Does Brake catch that? Yes, he does. Does Haig catch it? No, he doesn't. Why? Because he's an offensive lineman, and that's just the way it is, and that'll be the last pass attempt ever to you in your career, Haig. And you had a chance. It was in the Super Bowl. You could have been the MVP. Instead, Tom Brady's the MVP. So, anyway, that's probably the only low point for the Bucs in the Super Bowl. I'm sure Haig is celebrating still, and I'm sure he's over it.
My God, Chanae, I don't understand why Payton decided, and if you missed it on ESPN Plus, Payton Place is outstanding, but he had a whole graphics package going in and roasting this man for what it was a great play made by the Chiefs on the other side they should have highlighted.
Okay, defend your people. These are your people. Get your people.
I'm just saying the offensive line community is going to have to raise up and have words with Peyton Manning right now. I want Jeff Saturday on our team. I've seen him dog cuss Peyton on a sideline before. We need him back now.
I get what that feels like. That feels like how my community felt after Jake Paul. So it's okay.
Does it feel like how you felt after this?
broke down, you know, basically the implications after Adrian Wojnarowski.
Just to be clear, that was Chiney trying to give our ESPN NBA insider Adrian Wojnarowski credit, and it sounded a little bit like this.
Broke down, you know, basically the implications after Adrian
Thanks for listening to Chiney and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.